In our culture, what is put up against each other is spirituality and religion, right? So you've probably had a number of friends say to you, you might invite them to worship if you feel like the pastor that week will, you know, can read the bulletin and figure out what he's supposed to be doing. And someone would say, well, thank you. You know, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And with that sense of spirituality in our generation comes all kinds of practices that really is a buffet of I like this about this group and I like that about that group, and you end up with all sorts of conglomerations of Christian and Eastern and even pagan practices that some are doing trying to just be spiritual. There are those who would say simply, you just need to put your desires, your wishes, your hopes out there to the universe, and then the universe will send back those good things to you. Let me ask you, how has the universe done in the last 48 hours for you? Only good things? And see, what makes our generation panic is the idea of a person that we would be talking to. So it's a whole lot easier to talk to some inanimate object, some object that does not have personality, does not have a will, does not have desires that might be contrary to my own. And so I'll talk to the universe, I'll talk to my crystals, I'll talk to whatever it is I want to talk to, but talk to a person, no thanks. But see, as Christians, we take seriously what the Bible says about prayer. And simply put, prayer is talking to God. That is, maybe I just say amen and we go home. Don't get your hopes up. Prayer is talking to God. And there are some even who would say who are not content with that and want to add just a hint of mysticism to our Christianity would say, well, prayer is talking to God and, you maybe have heard this, listening to God. Listening to God so often leads to self-justification, or what we call listening to God. How often have you heard someone say, you know, God told me, and then what follows is something that completely went against what they had already preconceived that they wanted to do? Guys, you know that day that God told you to buy that car, to chase that girl. You know when God told you, fill in the blank. And it just so often is that God told me exactly what I wanted him to tell me. It's almost as if it's not really God talking to me. It's almost as if I'm going to do what I want to do, and then I've got God on the hook. And no, none of my friends can question me because God told me. So forget you if you don't agree with what God told me to do. See, friends, Jeremiah 17:9 still holds true that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So when we consider the topic of prayer, we want to be as pure as we possibly can be in our understanding of prayer from Scripture. What does it mean for us as human beings, as created beings to talk to the infinite, eternal, unchanging God who is spirit. What does that mean? So first we see that you must give up your hopes to God. Give up your hopes to God. See, we confess as a church that prayer is an offering up of our desires to God. Psalm 62:8 tells us, "Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him." God is a refuge for us. And I love that verse because it isn't just telling us to pour out our hearts to God with some great uncertainty. It's telling us to pour out our hearts before God in the ultimately safe place, which is before our Heavenly Father. Now, in many religions, when you start to talk about the topic of prayer, you start to get into a playbook. You need to lean this way at this time. You need to bow that way at that time. Any of you who have flown to Israel on an overnight flight probably know that hour when the competition begins. When all the Jewish men stand up and they get out the prayer shawls and they get out the phylacteries and they wrap them and, oh, they're slightly off, so I have to unwrap them and rewrap them, and then they get up in front of everybody and they start bowing and they start praying. Or perhaps you've been at a park and seen a Muslim family enjoying a picnic, but then the time comes for prayer and the mats come out and the bowing comes out and the bending at the exact time in the right direction and all of that. Now, I can't speak against their sincerity, but let me encourage you in this, that you can pray to the triune God of the Bible anytime, anywhere, from any position, facing in any direction. Because it is not some physical exercise, it is a spiritual exercise of pouring out your heart before God. And you can do that anywhere. At any time. You don't have to be holding beads. You don't have to be in a building. You don't have to be before statuary. It is a spiritual exercise for a spiritual people. Isaiah 55 reminds us, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And that is a 24/7 proposition. And the next verse makes it even more potent. "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Your prayer life not been what it needs to be? Come back to God. You've gotten wrapped up in all sorts of spirituality that is not Christian and tried to pepper your prayer life with something that you thought would make it better. Abandon that. Leave that behind and come back to the spiritual practice of pouring out your heart before God. But I also want to encourage you with what some of you might view as bad news, and hopefully I can get through this and not get fired. I want to encourage you to leave the Calvinist out of the prayer closet. What do I mean by that? See, the next part of what we confess is that we're to pray for things agreeable to his will. And yes, that is absolutely true, but the precursor to that is this act of making our desires made known to God and pouring out our heart to God. And some of you have become so Calvinistic that your prayer life really isn't even a prayer life. Because you are so afraid that you are going to pray the wrong thing, that every single one of your prayers just comes down to, "Well, God, whatever. Whatever you want, we'll be subjected to it. We'll try to be happy with it. We'll try to go on from there. And you have stopped pouring out your heart to God. You have stopped weeping in prayer for that one that you love who is not walking with the Lord. Why? Because, well, God may not ultimately have elected them. And I don't want to pray for them to be saved if that's against God's will. You have stopped begging God to heal the body of your sick friend. You have stopped pouring out your hearts before God. So why come to prayer meeting? Why get together with another friend to pray? Why even go into the privacy of your own prayer closet when ultimately your faith has led to a fatalism that has absolutely dealt a death blow to your prayer life? Pour out your heart before God. Secondly, grow your knowledge and understanding of the Word. See, if we're going to pray for things that are agreeable to His will, we better have some kind of grasp of what His will is. And see, we tend to think of God's will in all these secretive terms. Who am I supposed to marry? What company am I supposed to work for? When should I retire? When should I get a job? Yesterday, that's when you should have gotten a job. Should I go to this college or that college? Should I go to college? Should I go to trade school? God, what is your will? What should I do? But see, we have a book so crammed full of God's will that we absolutely fail to connect with. See, prayer is not talking to and listening to God. Prayer is talking to God and spending time in His Word. That is listening to God. So if you feel like God isn't talking to you anymore, when's the last time you had the Bible open? One of your elders prayed for boldness for me this morning. I'm so sorry he prayed that. You're suffering the consequences of answered prayer. Maybe don't pour out your heart so much next time. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. But see, we have to be engaged with what His will is. And we can think all kinds of things are God's will, and we can even try to impose those things on other people. Many of you know that one of my favorite phrases is, God loves you and I have a wonderful plan for your life. I know how each and every one of you ought to be serving God. Just ask me, I'll tell you. But see, it's in the light of Scripture that we find the true light that we need to walk by. The true light that we need to pray by. Psalm 36, 9 reminds us, in your light, it says to our Heavenly Father, do we see light. There are so many things that claim to be light in our world that ultimately lead to darkness. And we desperately need these Scriptures. In fact, in the Westminster Confession of Faith, the very first paragraph, it says, although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, wisdom, and power of God as to leave men unexcusable, yet are they not sufficient to give that knowledge of God and of His will which is necessary unto salvation. And he goes on to talk about how God saw fit to give us the written Word of God. So that, why? We can know His will. And so, who should you marry? Well, who can you marry and continue to walk with Christ and glorify God? What university should you go to? What university can you go to and continue to be connected to a biblical church and continue on growing in your discipleship? Young people, listen to me. I've seen so many students over the years just set their heart on some college, some university somewhere, and they are going to go there come hell or high water. And then they get there, and then they start to figure out, well, where am I going to go to church? And they call back, Pastor, there's no good churches around here. Well, the same internet is available today as was available 6 months ago. You could have done some research. And there might be the best university with the best program for the best career that you want. But if there isn't a solid church nearby, I can almost guarantee you that that's not God's will that you go to that college. Because it's more important that you stay connected to the body of Christ than it is that you get the best degree to get the best job, because you'll end up doing it without Jesus. So friends, we're to offer up our desires to God for things that are agreeable to His will in the name of Christ. And this is where, thirdly, you ought to go to Jesus. And by go, I mean run. Run to Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. See, as we pray in the name of Christ, we are being put under His protection. See, we cannot step into the presence of God without being covered by the blood of Jesus. And when we pray in His name, that doesn't mean we just pray for whatever and then we just tack on in Jesus' name, amen? What it means is we pray what we know will bring glory to Christ and what will fulfill His will. Psalm 34 reminds us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. The Lord redeems the life of His servants. None of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. See, Scripture is full of this picture of us running to Jesus, finding in Him our solace, our comfort, our protection, and that is no less true in your prayer life. Run to Jesus. Cling to Him. Pray to Him. Pray through Him as He is our mediator, as He is the only one who stands between us and the Heavenly Father. Hebrews 6 is one of the New Testament references of finding this place of protection and safety, says, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See, Jesus has pressed into the holy place, and we are to follow closely behind Him. If you stay with Him, you will be all right. You will be safe. Fourthly, give up your sins to God. We don't just give up our hopes to God in prayer. We also give up our sins to Him. For we're to pray with confession of our sins. Psalm 32 says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. And Daniel, that great revolutionary Daniel who protested through prayer, he says, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Daniel made confession to the Lord. And let me ask you this morning. What is your relationship to confession? See, we encourage you in it weekly in corporate worship because we should come as a repenting, confessing body together. But when is the last time you admitted wrongdoing to anyone, let alone to God? See, it's easy for our hearts to grow to hate confession because it means we have to say, I was wrong. I did wrong. I hurt. I broke something that I should not have. What is your relationship to confession? See, you should grow to love confession. You should cherish the opportunity to be able to state to God, to say with him, yes, that was sin and that was wrong. And why should you love confession? Because it means the Holy Spirit is at work in you to show you your sin, to give you the grace that you need to confess your sin and to apply the person and work of Jesus Christ so that sin is wiped away. That's what happens in confession. And as we learn to confess, then our repentance becomes real because then we are actually learning to walk in the holiness of Christ. And fifthly, give thanks. We're to pray with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. How are you doing on that? We'll just press on. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So I asked you, what is your relationship to confession? What is your relationship to thankfulness? What is your habit of thanking God for the good gifts that he has given you? He's given you work to do. What does God hear from your lips about the work that he has given you to do? He's given you people in your life. What does God hear from your lips about the people that he has surrounded you with to encourage you, to pray for you, to sanctify you? Those are the not fun people around you. Those people that drive you to prayer, those are called children. How thankful are you for all of the good gifts that God has given you. Are you thankful? See, it's amazing when you study Paul's letters because it's almost like this default instruction that Paul goes to. As I was talking to someone this week about relationships, and I said, it's way better, and I said, you know what I'm going to say? And they said, I know. It's way better to be single and wish you were married than married and wish you were single. So yeah, that's like my default premarital counseling thing that I go to. For Paul, thankfulness is always the thing that he's talking about. Paul, who was shipwrecked, who was beaten, who had snakes jumping out of the woodpile onto his arm, said, hey, we should be thankful. Being thankful reorients you toward the one that you are thanking. And when we, in our prayer life, give thanks to God for all of his mercies that he has given to us, even as we make requests and supplications to him, as we thank him, it is reorienting our hearts toward him as the giver of all things, especially those good gifts that are such a blessing to us. So what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires to God for things agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. And as we embark on this journey through the Lord's Prayer, we want to keep that definition in mind because Christ exemplified these things for us. And frankly, he accomplished them for us, so that we are now free, as we are sanctified, to learn and grow and flourish in our prayer lives. As we use, as we will see next week, the Lord's Prayer as a foundational prayer for us, but also the example of prayer for us, in which all of our other prayers should be modeled. So friends, where are you in your prayer life today? It's the first day of a new year. But don't start making promises to God that you can't keep. But start asking God to draw you back in close to him, to make him the first one that you want to talk to about all sorts of things in your life. Because ultimately in our prayer life, we are pointed to Jesus, the one mediator who has made the way for us into the heavenly places. Without Jesus, we would still be lost, orphaned, dirty, outcast children with no home, no sustenance, no warmth. But because of him, we can enter into the holy place of God boldly to make our requests known, to admit that I don't deserve to be here because I've done all these things, and yet to know that we are there under the blood and under the protection of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. So, let's get to praying. Let's get to pouring out our hearts before God. Let's get to asking him for his will to be done. Let us confess our sins and let us thank him for all of the good things that he has given us. Stand with me as we pray. Father, thank you that because of your word and because of your son, we no longer walk in darkness, but we see light in your light. That we can know your will. That we can, by the work of your Holy Spirit, desire good things in accordance with your will. Because of who you are, we are able to walk into your presence and we are able to pour out our hearts before you. We are able to confess our sins knowing that we will find grace and mercy. And we are able to thank you because we know that you are the source, that all things are from you. Father, help us to be a people of prayer in this year. Help us to learn and grow as we spend time growing in and meditating on the prayer that our Savior gave us. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. As we prepare to come to the table today, we're going to sing We Three Kings. The words are there for you in the bulletin. These men who saw the star that God granted them as a sign, and they followed it to Christ. They followed